Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
The pushy broad from the Bronx wants you to know that if there is only one tool that you could have in your arsenal to de-stress, to feel less anxious, to feel happier and more joyful in your life, it would be to learn how to let go,
how to manage your negative emotions, how to handle anger and your feelings of resentment,
how to have better communication with the people around you, how to live a happier life on a daily basis. The one way to do that is to learn how to let go.
Letting go is the process of releasing people, situations, thoughts, habits, and patterns that simply no longer serve us. Letting go means surrendering our ego and will and trusting in the universe that what is for our highest good and greatest joy will be provided for.
During this podcast, I'm going to talk to you about the four steps of letting go, give you an idea of what it means to let go, invite you to join my free Facebook group, the Letting Go Tribe.
And you can do that simply by logging into your Facebook account and typing in the search bar, Letting Go Tribe. Please request to join. It's free.
Utilizing me, Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, to help coach and guide you towards utilizing this very valuable tool
of learning how to let go. So we're going to take time in this episode to discover the steps of letting go, and then we're going to talk in depth about the one thing that people want to let go of, probably more than anything else, and that is anger. So we're going to talk about the parts of anger and how to identify it, how to de-escalate your anger, and finally, how to let it go.
Most people that are truly ready to let go are struggling to find balance. They're disconnected from their purpose, or maybe they're overwhelmed by life's challenges, or maybe you're just angry or sad, or you feel like you can't control anything, or maybe you feel like you're being controlled, or maybe you just want to take that next leap in your life and you don't exactly know how to let go and do it. If you could truly connect with those feelings and then begin the process of letting go, you could achieve anything you want. There would no longer be those barriers. So let's take a look at the four steps to letting go. Here's the first one. The first step
I call the awareness step. It is coming to grips with the knowledge that you're holding on to something that you do really want to release. It's what's keeping you from moving forward. When this holding on to something is such an oppressive weight, you wear it like a heavy coat, and it weighs you down. It makes it impossible for you to think about other things. You'll always come back to the same nagging feeling, and you don't know how to get rid of it. You can't just shrug it off because it comes back. This is what the awareness step will help you process. What are the big things in your life that are causing you to be paralyzed, causing you to feel anxious, causing you not to be able to live in your own joy? When you're finally sick and tired of being sick and tired, the awareness step helps you find clarity. You must now do anything you can to stop the pain. You are now willing to do the work to get on the road to better mental clarity and good mental health. So when you begin to have all or even some of these feelings and you know that you must do something about it, this is the awareness step. And this is why the awareness step is so important. It is the first step that you can make towards real positive change. Remember, one thing that connects us as human beings is our ability to feel pain and anger. Whether that anger is based on current events or things of the past, what separates us is how we deal with that anger. If we don't deal with it, and we don't begin to heal from that situation or express our anger in a positive way, then we aren't moving forward in a growth-oriented way. One of the best ways to get out our anger is to learn the lessons from the situation and use it to focus on growth and forward momentum. We can't get stuck in thinking about what I should have said or how angry I am, because otherwise we become immobilized in our angry feelings. So what we must do is take stock. We must realize that the anger is interfering in our lives in some way. But in order to move forward, we must be aware of it and then get it out. And the way we get it out is to be able to talk about it in a productive way. And that is why the second step of the letting go process is so vital. Here is the second step in the letting go process. The verbalization step gives you a whole new outlook on life. You get to reconnect with people and share with people in a whole different way, simply by opening up and letting it out, talking about what's bothering you, rather than keeping it inside. It's extremely exciting to come to this step, and you also begin to learn how to talk to yourself in a much more empowering, self-aware way. You begin to rediscover you and your identity, which is vastly different from the way you were before. Before, you may have told yourself that you could just get over it if you didn't think about it. Before, you might have told yourself that it's nobody's business how you're feeling. Before, you may have felt that you didn't want to talk to anybody because you might have been ashamed or afraid or confused. Before, you may not have had the courage to actually look at it head on and face it. But the moment you are aware and the moment you verbalize what's going on with you, you will be surprised at how you will begin to feel that the weight of this problem or these circumstances has been lifted. You are now able to be more honest with yourself by sharing it with someone else. And in this instance, I encourage you to talk to me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Let's do a coaching session around your verbalization. You will see what a great and amazing cathartic experience it is to open up and begin to talk about what's bothering you. By doing that, you actually allow the negative emotions to flow. If you're afraid of feeling those negative emotions and it's causing you to avoid them, don't worry, you're not alone. Many times people are afraid of feelings such as grief, anger, or disappointment, or sadness. And rather than feeling them, people just try to shut them out, which really disrupts the process of letting go. You must let them flow. And you can do that with a coach like the Pushy Broad. But no matter what, they have to leave your brain and your body and come out in some way. And the verbalization step is the greatest push forward in your engagement of self-care. Because when you are angry and hurting, it often feels like there's nothing else there but anger or hurt. So by practicing self-care and verbalizing, you begin to take more of an empowerment role in what you are going to let affect you in a negative way. The third step in the letting go process, I call the action step or the release step. This step becomes quite a cathartic process. I call this step the action step because it's really the process step. It's not enough to be aware of what you are feeling and to verbalize it. We have to begin to understand why we are feeling these feelings and what is behind these emotions. We begin to ask ourselves the tough questions, and if you're working with a coach or therapist, then these questions will be addressed. Why are you feeling this way? There may be outward and obvious reasons for your feelings, but are there underlying issues that you haven't addressed or you haven't faced that are causing these feelings that you may not yet be aware of? You'll be asking yourself why it's so difficult to let go of these feelings. What is making this such a hard thing, and why are you holding on to it for so long? What steps can you actively take to understand what's going on and process these feelings to move forward? How can you begin to take better care of yourself to heal mentally and spiritually? How do you learn to forgive yourself and others? And most importantly, are you ready to take the action steps to move past these negative feelings and finally understand them and no longer have them take up space in your head and in your heart? And as part of the process step or the action step, you'll begin to take the distance that you need so that you can separate yourself from your feelings and work on them quite objectively. You'll begin to do the work around focusing the attention on yourself so that you can address the things that are important to you. You may be practicing mindfulness to keep your focus on the present moment. Become more gentle with yourself. Become more open and honest about what you want and where your feelings truly are. And truly engage in self-care and surround yourself with people who are positive influences in your life. Taking the actions you need to begin to reshift your focus from the negative emotions that are holding you down, and finally realizing that they no longer serve you because you have a truer sense of understanding where they came from, why you held on to them, and now knowing they no longer have a place in your mind. And with this tool of letting go and taking the action step or the process step, you now have something that has truly transformed your life so that you can begin to enjoy the freedom step. The immense joy of knowing that the weight of the world is no longer on your shoulders. That letting go is not only being aware, verbalizing, working and processing, but actually moving forward so that you're no longer holding on to that very heavy coat or that very heavy burden of life. It is magically, miraculously lifted. The problem, the situation, the anger, the resentment, the pain is no longer there. The idea that there is new possibilities and new journeys for you around the horizon. Doesn't that sound like something you might want to do? And even if it is the simple joys of living a peaceful, balanced, and serene life on a daily basis. Don't you think that letting go and learning how to let go would be a very valuable tool for you to have? So many of my listeners and my clients were so interested in this topic that I formed a free group called the Letting Go Tribe. Request permission to join the Letting Go Tribe. You will be surrounded by people that are looking to provide the same kind of support and help you need, in addition to tips and suggestions and coaching from Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Log on to your Facebook page, type in the search bar Letting Go Tribe, click and request to join. It's free. I know that you will find this group extremely supportive and helpful. Here's something else you may find very helpful. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Sometimes I think that we live in a world where angry seems to be our middle name. We seem to fume over the smallest things, like when someone cuts us off in traffic, or when your child may be ornery and refuses to cooperate, or maybe you're having a bad day at work and your boss or a colleague has said something to you and it's rubbed you the wrong way, or you didn't get something that you wanted and now you're angry about it. Or somebody says something to you that just ticks you off in a way that starts your blood to boil. Anger is something that we deal with on a regular basis. There's healthy anger and there's unhealthy anger. So first I'm going to talk to you about you getting angry. And I'm going to give you permission to get angry, which some of us don't understand. And then I'm going to talk to you about what it means to be angry in a relationship. And what happens if you're with a partner or a spouse whose anger is way out of control? And finally, I'm going to talk to you about how to let go of anger and how to diffuse it, how to express it, and let it go in a very healthy, productive way. So let's begin. In order for all of us to understand our anger and to manage its output, we have to first be concerned about our emotional intelligence around our anger. We have to decide what our anger intensity scale is all about. There are different levels of anger. For instance, if I'm mildly annoyed at something because somebody said something that mildly irritated or frustrated me or pestered me or took a jab at me, that may be different from my level of anger if somebody actually insulted me or harassed me or antagonized me. That level of anger may also be different from somebody that has exasperated me or outraged me or betrayed me. And my level of anger may be even greater if somebody has enraged me or made me furious or seething or infuriated or even violent or explosive. So understand that there are many words for anger and the levels of intensity of my anger. So one can go from feeling mildly irritated or annoyed to infuriated, seething, and enraged, sometimes at the drop of a hat. So the first thing that we have to do as adults is to evaluate the level of our anger. Is it a mild anger, and by that we could give it a 1, or is it a very intense anger, and by that we can give it a 10? Of course, when we are in the heat of the moment, it may be very difficult for us to evaluate the level of intensity of our anger. But if you can do it, it is a very good thing to do. Just take a deep breath and ask yourself, how angry am I? What situation here and what level am I at? Am I at a 10, which is exceptionally high and enraged? Or is this maybe something that is less difficult for me so that my anger level may be at a 1 or a 2? This is also the kind of thing that you must do after the situation is over. You do have to assess your anger level so that you can understand if it's going to stay with you and continue to work on you in a detrimental way. Ask yourself what transpired, how you felt about it then, what level it was then, and more importantly, what level is it now? Sometimes something as simple as putting some distance between us and the anger may automatically help to de-escalate our feelings around it and our level of intensity. That, of course, is the number one way to help us manage our anger. Step away, walk away, sleep on it, come back the next day, and then maybe it will not seem as intense as it did when we were right in the middle of it. Sometimes removing yourself from the situation is not possible, and you're in the middle of a very angry situation. In that instance, I still need you to assess the level of your anger and realize that staying in angry mode will not solve or fix the situation on any level. When people are operating in angry mode, it's impossible to think clearly about something or make a healthy decision. So I need you to take a step back and breathe. And your first objective in any angry situation is to immediately de-escalate the situation. Whether you are the one that is having an angry outburst, or you are in the middle of an angry outburst with your partner, or they are the ones having an angry outburst. So if you're both talking at, say, level 10, which is high anger, high anxiety, I need you to understand that you're not getting anywhere when you both talk at a level 10, and the outcome will not be a good one, no matter what. You will eventually have to revisit things because your anger and your emotions have gotten in the way of this argument. So now it's no longer about the argument. It's about the yelling and the screaming and the anger surrounding the argument. So you're going to have to revisit it. So either say that to your partner, listen, I'm too angry, I've got to just calm down and we'll talk about this when I'm not so angry. Or you have to take a couple of deep breaths and you have to say the same thing to your partner. Let's just try to talk calmly about this because our anger is getting us nowhere. If that seems impossible, then I need you to walk away. Absolutely walk away. For instance, I want you to learn how to stay calm in any situation. And one of the best ways to do that is to back up and reframe the situation and really pull back and look at what you are really fighting about. I need you to learn how to eliminate your own behaviors that aggravate tense situations and help and create environment where less outbursts occur. Try to avoid pushing other people's buttons, and you know what I mean. And try to recognize when other people are pushing your buttons and see what it is, and do not succumb to that because it's not healthy for you. Angry people have two main beliefs. Number one, that the situation is unfair. And number two, that it's out of control or they're losing control. So their reaction is to make it more fair and gain more control. This usually ends up as an escalation of perceived unfairness
or a struggle to gain control when someone feels the situation is out of control, so that it becomes a battle to gain that control and win the argument. So if I am looking for a way to have a situation be more in my control,
then I can objectively find ways to either get it back into my control or understand why it should not be in my control. But either way, I can be looking for those answers instead of getting angry about it. The more angry a person gets, the more quality of self-control and judgment goes down the drain.
Having the tools to let go and manage our anger and our anger response are invaluable.
Here are some really effective tips on how to manage anger. Some of these are taken by an article on the web, How to Manage Anger, 15 Effective Ways to Handle Sudden Rage, by Somapika D, February 27, 2019. First, understand that anger is an actual problem. As we said before, it really doesn't matter what you say to someone if you say it in anger and rage, because then the anger itself is more of a problem than the actual situation. And the level of anger can be a really big problem if it is out of control and out of hand, if it sparks violent or rageful or abusive behavior. So the anger itself may be the issue. And then it really doesn't matter what you're fighting about. Also, you need to take some time before you speak. I know it is very hard for us not to want to fight back at somebody verbally right away, but take some deep breaths, breathe, and understand what's really important. Not the rage, not the anger, but the actual argument. What are you fighting about? And how can you say that in a calm way and still get your point across? Please recognize the symptoms of anger. If you're with somebody and you start to see teeth gritting or somebody's making a fist or they're shaking or they're anxious, understand that they are getting worked up. And I also need you to recognize these symptoms in yourself. If you have a red face or you're being nasty or critical or you are shaking or you're anxious, I need you to recognize the anger symptoms in yourself. So calm down, back away, look for the signs and symptoms. Also, if you are stewing in anger, meaning that you've already had the fight or you're already in a situation where you are letting these thoughts of anger roll around in your head, I need you to do some breathing exercises around it. Calm down. Live in the present. Remember, I always say wherever your feet are, that's where your brain has to be. And you have to realize that you are not actively engaged in the argument now. So calm down. I also want you to know that you can't bottle up your anger. Don't stuff it down. And that is part of the verbalization step. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get it out, but you cannot get it out in a rageful way. Make sure that you're journaling. Make sure that you are talking to a friend and explaining the situation. Just make sure that you have expelled it from your body and your brain in a way that makes you feel comfortable. I have many, many times written a letter to the person that I was angry with no intention of sending it, but getting all of my curse words out on paper, all of my arguments and all my rage out on paper, and then finding a way to read it several times until my anger has been diffused. If you find that you're getting angry most often and you can't let it go, then I need you to actively monitor your anger, which means I want you to start writing down in a journal how often you get angry. I need you to be consciously aware of what your patterns are when it comes to anger. I also want you to identify the triggers of your anger. Is there a particular person or a situation that could be contributing or influencing the amount of pressure you feel or the mood swing towards anger that you feel? Is there a person you have to stay away from? Is there a thought that you have to deflect in order not to get angry? And most importantly, is this trigger situation causing so much anger that you are taking it out on yourself? Are you punishing yourself? Are you doing something that is not good for you? Or are you trying to escape this anger by picking up a drink or a drug to run away from the problem at hand? I need you to be very conscious and aware of what you're doing, because these things are certainly not healthy for you and only lead to a path of further self-destruction. I have found, believe it or not, that breathing, just inhaling and exhaling, are a really good way to deal with your anger. Inhaling deeply through your nose, exhaling through your mouth 5 or 6 times can really lower your blood pressure and make the anger dissipate. Make sure you're getting some physical exercise. Walk around the block, get on the treadmill, do something that will allow you to calm down. And of course, it's very easy to say don't hold a grudge, and that's the part of the forgiveness session of letting go. But I want you to understand that any anger or resentment you feel still hurts you. It is extremely hard to live in negativity and anger. So even if you don't want to forgive them or you're angry about something, then understand that this is not helping you. Try not to hold a grudge. Life is way too short. And try to bring the laughter back. Whatever it is, you'll get through it. You've gotten through tough situations before and angry situations before, and you can find a way to get through this and see if you've learned a good lesson from this. Sometimes through our worst experiences, we get our greatest growth spurts. So put a positive spin on a negative situation.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
If you want quick answers to things with no BS, here is my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS, ask the Pushy Broad and she'll say no or yes.
The number one question I get from my clients and my listeners with regards to letting go is, can letting go actually be taught? Well, the answer to that is a big fat yes. In fact, most people don't know how to effectively let go unless they are taught. And that's why I've come up with a four-step method. And let me tell you why. First of all, if you decide that something is bothering you, like maybe you want to let go of the shame and guilt that you feel for doing something that you're not proud of, or maybe you want to let go of your feeling of insecurity, or maybe you want to let go of your fear of losing your relationship, or you want to let go of the hostility towards a parent, or you want to let go of your fears about your children's life choices, and on and on and on, or you want to let go of your anger that you feel towards your ex for leaving you. All of those things, you know you may want to let go, and you may even think you have let go, but if they're still creeping up on you, and you still feel resentful and angry about it down the road, then basically you haven't effectively let go. You think you may have put it out of your mind, but just putting it out of your mind is not enough. The letting go tool actually helps to erase it and diffuse it after you have been able to understand it and make the change that you need to make in order to process the letting go step. That is vastly different than just pushing it under the rug or putting it in a box and not thinking about it. So letting go is indeed a process that must be taught effectively so that it doesn't come back and hurt you later. And it's not welled up and you don't take it out in other ways because you haven't effectively processed it. So yes, letting go can be taught. And trust me when I tell you, it's an absolutely invaluable way to move forward with anything in your life.
So give yourself a gift. Do yourself a favor. Go to my website, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Book a one-hour empowerment coaching session with me and ask me about the letting go method. Here are some more yes or no questions that I think you'll find interesting. Here are 10 myths about anger. And I can already tell you that the Pushy Broad from the Bronx is going to tell you that every single answer to these myths is no, a big fat no. Here's the first one. Getting angry is the only way to get things done.
That's ridiculous. There are so many other ways to get things done, and anger is the least effective way.
Please do not confuse standing up for yourself with getting angry. You can stand up for yourself every single time without getting angry. You still have a voice. It doesn't have to be an angry voice.
Here's number two. It's only natural to respond in an angry way. That's also a lot of BS. That's just an excuse. There are many different ways to respond. And again, anger would be the least effective. Here's number three. Strongly confronting an angry person will get them to back down. Absolutely not. The more you go at someone who's already speaking at a 10, you will not be able to calm that person down. Angry does not calm angry. Only calm people tame angry people. Number four, intimidation wins respect. Absolutely not. Intimidation only instills fear, and fear does not win respect. Respect wins respect. Number five, the use of verbal venting will have lasting calming effects. Not necessarily. You can journal your venting, and it will have much better effects than taking it out on the world or yourself. Number six, anger is a bad emotion. Anger is not a good emotion or a bad emotion. It's just an emotion. It's just anger. Number seven, there's only one way to deal with an angry person. Absolutely not. There are many ways to deal with an angry person, and that does not mean fighting fire with fire. Number eight,
anger can't be helped.
In other words, this is just the way I am. I was born this way. God, that's an even bigger bunch of BS. Everybody changes. Nobody is born with anger. Number nine, not getting angry means they got away with it. It's the principle of the thing. They need to be my target of anger. God forbid somebody has gotten something over on me. That's absurd and ridiculous. Those feelings come from your own sense of low self-esteem and insecurity. Turning the other cheek works every single time because it's about what you feel about yourself. There are going to be some people in this world that respect you, some people in this world that don't respect you. But what's important is that you always respect yourself. And just because you have turned away doesn't mean that somebody has gotten away with something. It's not a contest. This is not win or lose. This is not a battle unless you choose it to be. And if every single time you get angry because you don't want the world to get away with things, you're going to live in anger always for the rest of your life. So I need you to decide to find new ways to feel good about yourself and get the respect that you need from within and not worry about what other people are thinking about you. And finally, number 10, ignore anger and it will go away, meaning time heals all wounds. Not so. Not always. Sometimes it actually infects. Nobody's asking you to ignore your anger. I'm asking you to accept it, face it, deal with it in a manageable way and not let it ruin your life and alienate those around you. Anger is absolutely an emotion that you must put in your arsenal. But the intensity of that anger is something that you have to manage because you should never be in a place where the intensity is absolutely out of control.
Anger is an emotion that you are entitled to, but you must learn to process it and move forward and let it go. You cannot live in anger forever. It does not help you move forward.
We've all had a push moment, and the Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, or maybe you want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
Here is my segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
Think about the last time you had an angry outburst. Did that go well? What were the results? What would you do differently if you could do it all over again? Sometimes you're in the middle of an angry outburst, and that can be a volatile and dangerous situation. There are many times that we want to cry about things because we're afraid to get angry about things. I need to let you know that you have permission to be angry. Sometimes we need permission to be angry. We can look at how we were raised and see if we have come from families that did not allow us to express our feelings of anger. I know what that's like. You are entitled to get angry. You are not entitled to get out of control in your anger. We are entitled to get angry, and we must get angry. Otherwise, we will suppress it, and it will take itself out on us physically and mentally. So giving ourselves permission to get angry is a good thing. Just by saying, I am angry about this, not by having a temper tantrum or yelling and screaming, but simply saying, this has made me mad, rather than stuffing it in or telling somebody it really doesn't matter when it really does matter. So instead of crying about it and taking 10 minutes of tears to have it happen, I need you to say, I have permission to get angry, not out of control, not crazy, not enraged or furious,
in a destructive or violent manner,
but annoyed. And you have permission to be angry. You also have permission to understand that you can cry about something for 10 minutes and then let it pass. I need you to work through that anger in 10 minutes, so to speak, and let it pass so that you do not live in the anger, because it is not productive for you to do so.
So how do we do that? Instead of taking 10 minutes of tears, let's take 10 minutes of anger. Find creative ways to express our anger. In an article in Psychology Today, posted May 19th, 2018, here are some ways to turn negative feelings into positive actions. You can hit a ball. Learn how to play tennis or golf or table tennis or volleyball or get boxing gloves, hit a punching bag. Imagine that you're beating up the person that triggered your anger. You can also go to the gym and pump iron or simply go for a run or a swim. Write out your anger. Get a paper and pen and write the details of how you feel. Sing out your anger. Listen to music that carries anger with it, like Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. You can also create scores and lyrics that exactly match what you feel. Even if you don't know music, what you will create can be quite beautiful. Use your voice or any musical instrument you are drawn to. Dance out your anger. In the privacy of your home, dance your anger out. Draw or paint your anger. Take a piece of paper and colorful crayons and draw or paint whatever comes to mind. Verbalize your anger using a gestalt technique of putting a chair across from the chair you are sitting upon. Imagine that the person you are angry with is sitting in that chair and tell that chair everything that you are bottling up inside. Talk to the chair, scream at the chair. And I'm telling you, this technique really works. I use it in my coaching practice all the time. Another way to safely express your anger is to put a few plump pillows on your sofa, wait until you're home alone, and then hit those pillows, screaming at them, pretending that they are the person you are angry with. Then, only then, can you calmly talk. After using one or more of these techniques, you will feel less emotional. Then you can talk directly to the person you are with
and then calmly explain why you are angry and gently explore the different ways to fix the problem. Sometimes that person is not right in front of you, and you may never get a chance to express the anger to that person. But getting it out in a physical way will allow you to expel the anger from your body, which will not be good for you if you keep it inside. You must get your anger out.
So instead of 10 minutes of tears, think about 10 minutes of anger so that you can begin to learn to channel your anger so that you can do things differently and calm yourself down a little faster. Here's my last segment. I'm talking here.
I'm talking here.
I'm talking here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm talking here. There are so many ways to let go of your anger and get your anger under control. So many great articles out there. I am going to give you an example of them and give you some ideas. Here they come. First, think before you speak. In the heat of the moment, it's easy to say something that you will regret. Take a few minutes to collect your thoughts before saying anything and allow others involved in the situation to do the same. Once you're calm, express your anger. As soon as you're thinking clearly, express your frustration in an assertive but non-confrontational way. State your concerns and your needs clearly and directly without hurting others or trying to control them. If that doesn't work, then go work it out. Go get some exercise. Physical activity reduces stress. Or go into a back room with a tennis racket and a pillow and hit it. Or go to do some kickboxing. Or go on the bicycle. Expel that energy. Another thing to do is distract yourself. Go walk with the dog. Go sit in a quiet place. Take your own time out. Put some soothing music on, something that you like, something that you care about. Do something else. Take your mind off the argument and distract yourself. You know how to do it. There are a million ways that you know how to distract yourself. Or you can start identifying possible solutions. Instead of focusing on what made you mad, work on resolving the issue at hand. And if you're going to talk about anger, try to stick with I statements. I feel this way. I need to be respected. I am upset that you left the table without offering to help, blah, 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 rather than saying, you never do the dishes or you never do your homework on time. I feel unhappy. I feel sad. I feel angry. Stick to I statements. Another thing you can do to dispel and diffuse your anger is not hold a grudge. Forgiveness is a very powerful tool. If you allow anger and other negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you will find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness and your sense of injustice. If you forgive someone who angered you, you will both learn from the situation and strengthen your relationship. And what about your sense of humor? Did you forget those things? Lighten up your situation. It helps diffuse the tension. Use humor to help you face what's making you angry. Practice your relaxation skills, your meditation skills, your breathing skills. Know how to diffuse your own anger. And most importantly, know when to seek help. If you're constantly living in anger, I need you to seek out the Pushy Broad from the Bronx and join my Letting Go tribe and doing some letting go work around your anger or seeking a therapist or seeking an anger management group. You can write down all the things that you're angry about, put them on paper, put them down, talk about why you're angry, and then put them all in a big bucket on the outside and burn them and let your anger go. That's another way. But learning to control your anger is a challenge for everyone. Seeking help for anger issues if your anger seems out of control will only help you and not cause you to do things you regret or hurt anyone around you. If you're on the receiving end of anger, get away from it. If you're in a relationship where your spouse is always quick to anger, or worse than that, violence or explosiveness because of anger, remove yourself from it. It is not behavior that you deserve and not behavior that you should be accepting or forgiving. Move away from that disastrous situation. And most of all, understand and respect yourself and the people around you. Understanding and listening to situations before jumping to conclusions makes you less angry. The more you care about yourself and the more you understand that it is not about losing or gaining control, and it's not about winning or losing the argument, and life is not always fair, is a true understanding of getting your anger under control. Letting go is so much more than just eliminating negative emotions. Letting go truly is a life-changing event. I'm going to give you some very valuable information now, and for no other reason, you should take it all in and try to memorize as much as you can. These things were taught to me early on in my life and has helped to change and shape who I am. Are you ready? This is what letting go is truly all about. To let go does not mean to stop caring. It means that you can't do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut yourself off. It's the realization that you can't control another. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences. To let go is to admit powerlessness, which means the outcome is not always in your hands. To let go is not to try to change or blame another. You can only change yourself. To let go is not to care for, but to care about. To let go is not to fix, but to be supportive. To let go is not to judge, but to allow another human to be a human being. To let go is not to be in the middle arranging all the outcomes, but to allow others to affect their own outcomes. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face reality. To let go is not to deny, but to accept. To let go is not to nag, scold, or argue, but to search out your own shortcomings and to correct them. To let go is not to adjust everything to your own desires, but to take each day as it comes. To let go is not to criticize and regulate anyone, but to try to become the dream you can be. To let go is not to regret the past, but to grow and live for the future. To let go is simply to fear less and love more. Those are truly words to live by. And I'm going to leave you with one more thing. The great Thai meditation master Ajahn Chah says, "If you let go a little, you will have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you will have a lot of peace." This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx would like to thank her production team: songwriter, composer, musician, and sound man Sam Goche, voice artist and announcer Taylor Goche. Oh, that's me. And thanks to collaborative writer and assistant production manager, Richard Torres, virtual assistant and social media guru, Kimberly Studdard. Special thanks to Laura Kravitz, production manager, and Susan Herman, collaborative writer. And a very special thanks to Love Love Studios in Brooklyn,
Brooklyn,
for recording and mixing our music.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.